The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Ah! Who are you? And what are you doing in my bathroom?
Relax, dude. It's just me. I'm trying on my new mustache soaps for size.
What the?
Yeah, it's my new stash box. Mustache soaps from Bubble Genius. See? Look at this one. Oh, hello, my darling. Do you admire my sexy stash?
Dude, you're a weirdo.
Nah, it's fun. Here, see for yourself. Try this one on for size.
Oh, fine. Well, howdy, ma'am. Y'all know where I can hitch up my horse at? this is a neat one. I'd like to discuss the molecular structure of soap, please. These soapy stashes are spectacular.
See? I told you. Super fun. And they smell great and lather up like crazy. Those Bubble Geniuses got it going on.
Stash Box Mustache Soaps for good, clean fun. Only from Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
In Kazakhstan, we say it makes you feel like a real man when you shoot.
It's a nice feeling. I enjoy it.
It feels good. Your body feels alive, good, like a proper man.
Especially when you're shooting a machine gun.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So how many can it?
It's about 800 rounds per minute.
Walla Walla is a good gun. 800 per minute. Yeah. It means you have many criminals tied to you, Kim.
Yeah, you can just waste them. After I'm done with guns, I always go to the topless club.
Walla Walla, I like it very much.
Only
shoot a gun and to see a big...
That really sums it up.
This is what a man should do. A man should be able to shoot a gun and enjoy...
Look at naked women.
Yes.
Yes.
High five!
Come on through. It's all about I kick your ass, Osama.
Walla Walla! You are a real man. High five! Can you buy this gun for self-defense?
It's possible. It's not easy to.
Can you buy anti-tank gun for self-defense?
You can.
Good.
In Texas.
You're always 1, 2, 3 jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed. With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, May 29th, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob Seska, that's Chez Pazienza.
And that's me.
Sometimes it's really, really hard to restrain my laughter during one of those opening bits. Oh, my God. Borat.
Our culture is so easy to mock. It just is.
We are brought to you each and every week by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap ever. If you're not buying their soap, you're buying some other crap. That claims to be soap, but it's really not soap. We're also brought to you by my good friend, Charles J. Bowen in the Bowen Law Group. He's easily the best attorney I've ever had. He's fast, he's smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. It's thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link to the podcast page. Also brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, you save big money by going there, but enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at BobSeska.com. You save money, we get a small commission to help support the show. Thank you. Also brought to you by Chez's memoir. It's called Dead Star Twilight. Pick it up at deusexmalcontent.com or at amazon.com. Make sure to click the link on the podcast.
Or just go to deusexmalcontent.com and drop some money in the PayPal electronic tip jar. I could always use that.
Yeah. This week we're sponsored by Donate to Chez.
Yeah. Awesome. Please. That's a great idea.
Go to deusexmalcontent.com, click the donate button, and then send him
and
some
give
money.
Give me your money, because I need it.
Give him money. We do this for free.
Give me money.
It's the least you can do.
It's the least you can do, you prick. You uncrazy. That's good. That's what's going to get me a lot of money. You ungrateful prick.
Yes, just insult your donors.
Don't be an ungrateful prick. Give me money.
Right.
Don't be a welfare queen. Don't be a taker.
Be a donor to Ches Pazienza's human fund.
Mm-hmm. Money for people.
Okay, so, boy, another big week around here. First of all, we do, you know what? We actually don't have any real significant updates on the Sandy Hook Truther story, which we brought to you last week on the show.
Actually, I have quite a few updates, but honestly, it's nothing I want to talk about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The details of what's happening with the investigation, police have asked me not to divulge it, and I'm not going to. And that's not just if it's an ongoing investigation where there's the potential to bust somebody, and there isn't any new information that I think is so valuable the public should know, then yeah. You know what? I will keep it to myself.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'll do.
Well, that's what I said. I almost said we do have news, but the news is that there is news forthcoming. Like,
yeah.
This story is not over by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Yeah, there will be at some point, hopefully soon, there'll be news forthcoming.
Yeah. We've both been getting it. It's kind of fascinating to see something like this taking place from the inside.
Yeah, that is true.
And so I imagine, I kind of actually thought that we would have some news for today's show. I thought that this was coming rapidly to a close as far as, finding.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That's it. It's the best I can do. It's the best any of us can do right now.
Yeah. I do know that last week's show is now, I think, considered some sort of evidence.
Yes.
That's great. I mean, it's, our show is now evidence in some way.
Yes. And that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that was an interesting little email.
That's all we can really divulge. Yeah, no more beyond that.
Yeah, sure. But we do have this other bit of information. This is another wrinkle to the whole story. Now, as we've talked about...
I did, just before we even get to it, I added it within the context. I threw it in. Within the context of the quickie piece that I banged out on Exin Cervenka of X.
Yeah.
She's the Victoria Jackson of the punk rock movement of the left. Mm-hmm. She's essentially taken up the UCSB truther cause.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They already exist, of course. And through reading her crap, I found this thing, and I wasn't willing to give it its own piece because I just genuinely, there are times when, I know you and I have this discussion all the time about what's worth sort of rooting out and exposing people versus what's better to just ignore, because there is the possibility that giving them attention will actually do more damage. You know, there's the possibility that if you give them attention that they're not getting, then that allows them to sort of speak out to more people. So, you look at the videos that we're talking about here, and honestly, they don't have a crap load of hits. They don't.
No.
It's not like you're looking. It's not like they're not Alex Jones with a million hits or 100,000 or whatever. So,
but it is, I think, reflective of a broader aspect of the whole truther movement, which is, and we've talked about this before, there are Alex Jones truthers. There are people who think Alex Jones is a double agent, some sort of guy positioned by the government in order to make truthers look bad, in order to make conspiracy theorists look bad. And they are Dominion. They're all over the place.
Sure.
And so now what we have is a Sandy Hook truther.
Yep.
You tracked down this video on YouTube of this woman who claims
this
that...
This woman who is kind of a, turns out is kind of not really big, but she's somebody within the YouTube conspiracist movement, which, as I said in my piece today, I've posted a YouTube video. That's the new investigative journalism in the post-loose change era.
Right. Right. Because people believe what they see in video form. It's been, you know, it's been a trick that TV's been using, especially TV advertising, since the invention of TV.
Yeah, people will believe anything that's put in front of them.
So this is what happened. I mean, there's this woman named Kate Slate 11 on YouTube, and she posts a video called Sandy Hook Creating the Fake Truther. So really, in effect, this is a Sandy Hook truther. This woman is saying that the truther who came forward to you and to the Daily Banter last week is a fake, is a fraud.
Is a government-controlled or some kind of media plant to make the Sandy Hook movement, to discredit the Sandy Hook movement. And I mean, I can't fathom. When I used to do acid years ago, there would always be invariably be that moment where a bunch of us, or however many, you know, me and my couple of friends would look at each other and say, "What would happen if we stayed like this forever?" And that's now I know. Yeah. You would become a truther.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine the kaleidoscope of lunacy. The through the looking glass. You're living your entire life through the looking glass. That you know, the way your brain would function if that's how you thought all the fucking time.
The thing I keep going back to, and I don't know if it's an apropos metaphor, but when the South seceded from the Union, they made secession legitimate. They basically indoctrinated that idea into the Confederacy, which in and of itself doomed the Confederacy in the long run. Say the Confederate States of America had won the Civil War, but they had based their entire existence on secession. Well, what's to keep South Carolina from seceding from the Confederate States of America? Or Texas seceding? That would have been the first one. Texas would have seceded from the Confederacy in a heartbeat. And all the states suddenly break up, and there's no more Confederacy. They're all individual states because they've established the idea that secession is legitimate. The same thing goes with these truthers. If you establish that nothing is legitimate, that everything is staged and fake, then every step along the line, subsequently, nothing is legitimate.
Exactly. Well, not just that. Not only that you've established that every single thing is fake or can be fake or probably is fake, but your evidentiary, I love that word, requirement, the burden of proof you have is zero. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the threshold, that's the thing. When, you know, that, again, how many times have I said this? That goes back to the classic Christopher Hitchens quote. You know, that which is asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence.
Exactly.
And that's what they do. They're like, well, look, if there's really no real burden of proof for anything, then anything is possible.
Right.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why something that I've written about so many times when it comes to, I almost cut and paste this paragraph because I said it once a long time ago, and I try to say it over and over, and I can't think of a better way to say it. But when it comes to matters of faith, I always say that. I'm like, the reason why we have the scientific method, the reason why we have burden of proof, why we have the idea of evidence, is because if you don't have that, you can make up any story you want. And everything descends. And if you can do that, everything descends into chaos.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, when this one thing is a hoax, whether it's Sandy Hook or whether it's Alex Jones, then everything else becomes a hoax. Everything else can be labeled a hoax because who knows who's behind it all and who's plotting. And, you know, once the conspiracy ball starts rolling, you can't really stop it. So you're screwed. And that's what this video is basically all about.
But that's, you know, the flip side of that, and this is a real problem. That's one of the reasons why it's frustrating and you have to, you can call them out. But you have to give up arguing with them. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're never going to convince them. You're never. There's no amount of evidence you can show a conspiracy theorist that is going to convince that person that they're wrong, that this is real or not real.
They're suspicious of everything, so it doesn't matter where you're coming from or who you are. You could be Alex Jones, you could be Dan Bondi, you could be this Sandy Hook guy, and you're not above suspicion.
Yeah,
because they're suspicious of everyone. They're paranoid to the core. Let's listen to a little bit of this tape, and we'll get sort of an inside view of the thought process. Mainly because I love how she talks about the Daily Banter and ultimately mispronounces your name, which is...
Well, no, but I want to... There's one thing that I really love about this, which is, you know, this whole idea that, like, we're some kind of, like, shill, you know, since obviously no one's heard of us, and, you know, that means that we're, you know, he has this big scoop and he comes to us, and what this idiot doesn't even realize is, like, yeah, well, the reason he came to me is... You know, you didn't even bother to research, apparently, didn't even bother to research 2 seconds and realize that the reason he came to me is that I had called him out in both the Banter and the Huffington Post.
Exactly.
Probably, I would bet that this person saw the Huffington Post article. Well, I'll say that I'm, you know, there's a pretty good chance this person didn't see the Banter article.
Exactly. Well, that's, I mean, a lot of people, my Benghazi post, a lot of people saw it on the Huffington Post and never saw it on the Daily Banter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're trying to change that and we're working on it. But yeah, look, I'm the first one to say. So, yeah. So to answer Kate Slate's, you know, implication to respond to that. Yeah. This, you know, this person came and talked to me because I had essentially called him a coward.
Here's a little bit of Kate Slate talking about Chez's article, the Sandy Hook truther truther.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I know we have covered the sign issue, and it's no biggie. We all know it's an inside job. And
we all know.
Don't know it's an inside
that's,
job.
That's it. Dude, out, I love that. I love that. There's no evidence. It's just, well, we all know that.
We all know.
Do you? You know what? God, you're so right, Kate.
We
all know that. It's just an inside job.
No, it's just a given that the sign was a hoax and he was a truther and he's just making it all up. We all know this. You know this. It's a given.
You're doing it again. Why don't you? You are like the conspiracist impressionist. It's astonishing. That's very good, actually. That there's Bidondi, there's Jesus. It's amazing. And there's Alex Jones. You are like, seriously, you're like, you know, why are you not online doing impressions of these people?
I'm the Rich Little of truthers.
You're the Rich Little of truthers. We totally need to figure out a way to, like, do like a fake show or fake like radio show or something live and get people to call in and think they're talking to Alex Jones and Dan Bidondi and this woman.
Just last night I was talking to 2 Beanie Babies and a sock puppet, and they told me that everyone knows it. Everyone knows that this is the fake truther is fake. I mean, he's a fake truther. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't really have those signs. These are all fake photos. Why would they send him to the Daily Banter anyway in Shea Pazienza?
Let's continue with this.
Blatantly, how so? It is an inside job.
Inside job.
Of course, the exclusive Sandy Hook truther comes forward, provides photos of stolen memorial signs in his living room. And by photos, he's talking plural. So guess what? Prior to stealing the Grace McDonald sign, now his claim to fame is that he got away with taking Chase Kowalski's sign only from the playground. Only the media, nobody covered it. Are you kidding me?
You know what? I just noticed that we're late for a break. We're going to take a break and continue with this ridiculous tape right after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Coming up later in the show, we're definitely going to be talking about Snowden. We're definitely going to talk a little bit about Greenwald. And the big NBC interview from last night. That'll be coming up later in the show. Plus the NRA stuff. We got to get into the Santa Barbara. One man come in the name of love. But in the meantime, back to this ridiculous Sandy Hook truther truther. Man, these people are just nuts. I think that a lot of them just have a considerable amount of free time that mere mortals do not possess.
I don't know. I'm baffled by it all.
Let's continue with Kate Slate debunking Chez's Sandy Hook truther article.
If somebody burps out of Sandy Hook, they've got it covered. So what I'm trying to portray with this video is that they are going ahead and creating a fake Sandy Hook truther to paint the entire truth movement with regards to Sandy Hook hoax as a bunch of paranoid mental freaks.
Yeah, pretty much, sweetheart.
You know what? If the
yep.
If the truth fits, wear it.
The straitjacket fits.
They're trying to portray us all as freaks, and I can assure you, we're not freaks. We're not weirdos and dorks and paranoiacs. We're normal people. They just look around. See us. Look at us at all the Sandy Hook press conferences. We're normal people. Look at Dan Bedondi. He's totally normal.
Exactly. Dan Bedondi. He's really normal.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
It's totally normal, right?
Relentlessly pecking it. Peace.
Relentlessly pecking at peace.
Now listen, I know we have covered the sign issue, freaks. And, you know, out of all the channels, all the websites, all the blogs that a truther would talk to, they pick the Daily Banter to get in touch with. So this guy goes and steals all these signs, and he calls the Daily Banter and then sends video pictures, or excuse me, just pictures of what he is taken, and then, of course, he takes the picture and then flips the bird. So, you know, it's a double shot. If you don't see by now how corrupt it is and that they're creating a fake Sandy Hook truther to go ahead and disturb the Sandy Hook truth movement, which has gained a lot.
The Sandy Hook truth movement doesn't need to be disturbed. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Like I said, they're suddenly interested in bad publicity?
Hey, Kate, what is your, let's recap here, Kate. What is your evidence that this...
Again, if you can't see, we know. It's, really? Really?
It's because it's...
Again, you have to present evidence. I get to sit back and do nothing while you present evidence, because the burden of proof is on the person making the outrageous claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but her evidence is that it appeared on the Daily Banter and not the Washington Post.
Right.
That's the exact one. And she never really clarifies who they are.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. It's them. It always
is. It's always them.
It's the elusive them.
It's Ben.
You know, the Illuminati and Benjamin Netanyahu and,
I was going to say Ben
Cohen. The UN.
I was going to say Ben Cohen. Editor,
it's Ben Cohen, right, yes.
And founder of the Daily Banter. Now, how exactly, what would Ben say to formulate this idea? Let's create the theater of the mind of Ben Cohen calling you up, Chaz, and saying, you know what, let's invent a truther to discredit the truther movement. How would that go?
look, guys. Why? I'm not mocking Ben. I would kill for that accent. Are you kidding me? My girlfriend wants to sleep with Ben because of that accent.
So he rings up your cell phone and then comes up with this great idea to invent the truth.
This great idea that, you know, that, yeah, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create this fake truther. Oh, my God.
And, of course, you're right on top of it. Yeah, because that's what we do. Because, you invented Sam Dolenkot.
Right.
So why not invent a truther?
I'm surprised that nobody's come up with that against me yet. Yeah, you know, we did invent this character. So this is just another one of his characters.
I was looking back at Ches Pazienza's archive of articles, and there is a guy he invented named Sam Dolenkot. And Sam, and so therefore, he invented the fake truther to make us all look like weirdos.
See? Don't you see?
Yeah. It's all there.
There it is. We know this. But that is it. I mean, genuinely, that right there, that actually says a lot if you can't see it, because that's what they think. They have this, mine eyes were blind, but now I see, you know? And exactly. It's like this whole thing that, like, suddenly their eyes have been opened, and they're so sorry for you that you, the poor sheeple, can't see what's really going on. And it's such bullshit.
But it's so much fun, too. It's endlessly entertaining for me to take a deep look at these idiots.
Out of ground, then you're the one who's paranoid and delusional. So he gives the big scoop to Ches Pazienza.
I'm Ches Pazienza.
My least favorite writer on the Daily Banter is Ches Pazienza.
It's too funny.
I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that correct. I am not going to read the article. It's very lengthy and it's written for shit. So you can go ahead and
that.
Read it.
That's my favorite line. Oh my God, I'm so hurt.
Yeah, I mean, she just mispronounced your name. Didn't even bother to...
She has insulted me. Oh, yeah, and incidentally, the article that's written for shit, if you... Because I actually did. I just listened to this, like, a half an hour before we did the show. But at one point, she mentions that she something about she doesn't know. There's something that she mentions that she doesn't understand. And I actually spelled it out in the piece, which means that she didn't read the freaking piece.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. I mean, there's no
why. She just got angry since she knows differently.
I only dubbed down 2 minutes of the tape, so I don't know exactly what that is. We're not going to play it. But good Lord. No, I bet there's going to be a Sandy Hook truther, truther, truther. The people who think that the Sandy Hook truther is not really who he says he is. Those people are now going to be discredited as being shills who are trying to undermine the truther truther movement.
That's right, the Sandy Hook truther truther truther.
That's right. Yep. So maybe Kate Slate isn't who she says she is. Maybe she's just trying to divert attention. You know, maybe she's just trying to make truthers look weird.
That's exactly what it is. She is. She's part of the conspiracy. Don't you see it, man?
Yeah. No, it'd be truth or truthers. She's trying to. She's pretending to be a truth or truther in order to make truth or truthers look bad.
Yeah.
So that's now the position of the truth or truth or truther.
Mm-hmm.
But then what about the truth or truth or truth or truther?
Yeah, she's actually a plant. She's a she's an infiltrator, as the militias out at the Bundy Ranch say. She's a government infiltrator.
I mean, you can see this is
she is out to make the 2,000 people out of the how many million in this country? 300 million.
Yeah,
she's out to make the 2,000 people who read her or who watched that video look bad.
We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about. Definitely we're going to talk about Snowden. The Snowden NBC News interview last night was hilarious. Quick break, back after this.
He spent years pushing the corporate suits, their rules, and their laws to the edge. Wait till you hear what he's like when he makes his own rules. The Don Geronimo Show.
Discounted yearly subscription still available. Also available in quarterly or monthly packages. And I'll see you there. The Don Geronimo Show. Tomorrow and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific. Live right here on the Rel Network.
Ah! Who are you? What are you doing in my bathroom?
Relax, dude. It's just me. I'm trying on my new mustache soaps for size.
What the...
Yeah, it's my new stash box, mustache soaps from Bubble Genius. See? Look at this one. Oh, hello, my darling. Do you admire my sexy stash?
Dude, you're a weirdo.
Nah, it's fun. Here, see for yourself. Try this one on for size.
Oh, fine. Well, howdy, ma'am. Y'all know where I can hitch up my horse at?
Oh, gee, this is a neato one. I'd like to discuss the molecular structure of soap, please.
These soapy stashes are spectacular!
See? I told you. Super fun! And they smell great and lather up like crazy. Those Bubble Geniuses got it going on!
Stashbox mustache soaps for good, clean fun. Only from Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Mustache.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code for a big old discount on your Bubble Genius purchases is Bob and Chez. When you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com after you've purchased all of your soap, type in Bob and Chez, BobAndChez, and you get 15% off everything you buy there. I wonder if Edward Snowden bought any mustache soaps from Bubble Genius in order to disguise himself as a spy.
He is. He's a spy.
That was one of the big revelations this week from the NBC interview with Edward Snowden. Is that he was trained as a spy. That he used a pseudonym and he used a cover employment, a cover job that disguised where he actually worked. It was one of the things. He was trained as a spy, which was kind of odd considering how in the NBC News interview he said early on, I'm not a spy. And then later on he says, I was trained as a spy and used a pseudonym.
Lame Bond.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Lame Bond. That's great. That's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's he can actually, one thing about Edward Snowden is that he's got this style, this manner of speaking that makes him seem believable, because he's not a ranting crazy person.
Right.
Sir, I mean, you know, if he walked around talking, sounding like this,
the Daily Banter,
no one would ever take him seriously. But he sounds calm, cool, and collected.
Right.
Which makes you almost overlook some of the bat crap things that he says.
Yeah.
And last night, I mean, this goes back to the whole Bill Maher thing. Every time Edward Snowden opens his mouth, something bat crap comes out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. There were lots of bat crap things from the Brian Williams interview. But my favorite thing about all of it was not the interview itself, but that article from Salon from just 2 years ago. It was almost exactly 2 years ago, where Glenn Greenwald referred to Brian Williams as NBC News' top hagiographer.
Yep.
Using his quote-unquote reverent, soothing, self-important baritone to deliver
information. There it is. Just the usual snotty Greenwald crap.
Did you see he talked about his very last revelation, what his last revelation from the Snowden files is going to be. It's going to be, he keeps comparing it to a fireworks grand finale.
Oh my God.
And he was saying that this last one is going to explode like a fireworks finale in all its multicolored hues.
Jesus Christ, what a douche.
Basically, that last revelation is reportedly a list of names of targeted Americans. Yeah, Americans who the NSA are targeting with surveillance. That should be really interesting. And the interesting aspect will he reveal that there are court warrants for the surveillance?
Right.
Because, I mean, look, the thing that often gets overlooked in all of this is, for many, many, many years, every level of law enforcement has used some form of surveillance against suspects. I mean, we see it all the time on television. I mean, whether it's The Sopranos or whether it's The Wire or, you know, on down the line. This is a standard tool that's used in law enforcement. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see the extent to which this multicolored, hued fireworks display really plays out. But nevertheless, Greenwald flew all the way to Moscow to participate in this interview. Specifically, he flew there with his husband, David Miranda. They both flew out there to meet up with Laura Poitras and Edward Snowden for the Brian Williams hagiography of Edward Snowden.
Yeah. I was going to say, now that, as usual, now that he has turned his hagiographic talents to Edward Snowden, everything is A-okay in Brian Williams' land.
That's right.
You know, he's the greatest guy on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Greenwald has no issue at all with being, with a reporter who is servile and you know, who lauds at every turn, as long as that person is doing it to Greenwald or someone Greenwald approves of.
Pernicious. Drooling.
Yep. I mean, you know, he had no issue with Natasha Vargas Cooper, you know, being, oh my God, going, you know, dancing in Rio with David Miranda and just basically living at that house for like 2 weeks, I think it was, and just kissing their asses at every single turn. Had no issue with her getting quote unquote close to a source, so close to a source that it starts to, you know, infect your journalism. Had no issue with that. Why? Because it made them look good.
Yeah. And you know, I guess we should bring this up now. I mean, the funny thing about Greenwald that none of these people get, Brian Williams doesn't get it, NBC News in general doesn't get it, certainly the public editor at the New York Times doesn't get it. No matter how many times you pucker up and kiss his ass in public, he is going to turn around in a heartbeat and call you impotent, to try to emasculate your publication, to call you subservient, to call you shills, to completely strip any legitimacy away from your reporting.
Yeah, because that's what he has to do.
Yeah.
You are the enemy.
Exactly.
You are the corporate media that has to be his demon so that he can continue making money.
Which is why I don't understand why why they line up to kiss
because
the ring.
Because they're terrified of him. Because he's calling them out as bad journalists. And if there's one thing if there's one thing the journalism industry is, it is unbelievably self-correcting, like to the point where it's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they're constantly aware of the mistakes they might make, and they overcompensate for it at every turn.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now is it really? I mean, I've really been thinking about this, and actually, I kind of waffle back and forth between thinking that like they're afraid of Greenwald, or are they just desperate to get their hands on a few more files? To get a few more scoops from the Snowden goodie bag.
That could be true, but you know, I think he's cowed them. And I also think that, you know, he's now a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. Mm. And he has this, you know, he has the wind at his back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's very, you know, I mean, he's not just at least in terms of appeals to authority, he is not just some hack.
Yeah.
You know, so because of that, you know, he is considered the journalistic gatekeeper. You know, he's painted himself as journalistic integrity's last man standing. And the thing is, if you don't paint him that way as well, he will come after you and he will never stop criticizing you.
Yep.
Because he's a petty little
That is absolutely true.
He's a petty little thin-skinned monster.
Oh, thin-skinned. You bet. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit more after a quick break. One last break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You are absolutely right about this band.
Told you.
I love Dead Sarah. I've been playing it all week on the block. Skin soft as leather, I'm a weatherman. Just so great.
She can sing. Oh, my God, can Emily Armstrong sing. Oh, yeah. Holy crap, yeah. The voice on that woman.
And it's not just the loud, shouty stuff. She's got a definite range.
Yeah, she's seeing them at Satellite was like it was like seeing Zeppelin at like, you know, a tiny club when they were first starting out.
I mean, if you're unfamiliar with Dead Sarah, I did post a video this morning on the blog. I've been posting Dead Sarah videos all week, and on the blog I posted a video this morning that is more ballady. So it's
is it Sorry for It All that you posted?
Yeah.
They opened with that.
Oh, really?
Last week, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Such a great song.
Doesn't seem like an opener to me. It seems like you know, like Weatherman, for example, would be a great opener.
Yeah, but no, they opened with that. I saw Elbow last night too, and they were incredible. They wrapped their tour here in LA. It was an amazing show. I've been like trying to get out more.
So back to Greenwald. It's now day 7 of his Twitter jihad against Michael Kinsley. I mean,
right, because Kinsley had the gall to not like him.
Yeah, I mean, you think with this one adversarial piece that the entire press corps descended upon Rio with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, it's one guy who doesn't like Greenwald. That's all it is. It's one guy. But you know what? Greenwald is just showing off at this point. He is. He's just – this is what he does now. And I think this is why – it's very smart because this is why journalists are scared of him, because he has cowed them, because he will – he's unrelenting in coming back against his critics.
Oh, exactly. And I think just every other tweet on his Twitter timeline is aimed at Michael Kinsley. And Michael Kinsley's big mistake was flirting too closely with prior restraint. I mean, that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, even I don't go that far at all, anywhere near.
No, I don't want prior restraint. And I also thought when I was reading it, I'm like, it's definitely, you know, it was a separate piece. It shouldn't have been a book review.
Yeah.
Because the book review, as a book review, it was, you know, it was just nothing but an attack on Greenwald, which I agree with most of what Kinsley said. Not all, but most of it.
Yeah.
And it's certainly when it comes to Greenwald.
Exactly.
But, you know, it wasn't really much in the way of an actual review, which is why Sullivan took it down. But again, she took it down.
Mm-hmm.
Really? She caved to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why this keeps happening.
But again, it's because of their relationship with Greenwald. I mean, because as much as Greenwald rips on the New York Times, and he does it all the time, rips on NBC News for that matter. But he's got publishing partnerships with them where they need him, he needs them to get the word out, to help boost the Intercept's traffic. The only way they can get traffic to the Intercept is continuing to cross-publish these articles with NBC News, with New York Times, and then at the bottom to say Glenn Greenwald is the yada yada, the grand poobah of the Intercept.
Yep.
I almost said last look.
Whatever.
But then, I mean, what infuriated me even more was then the Kirsten Powers response in USA Today to Margaret Sullivan, the public editor's response at the New York Times, where essentially she came down to suggesting that, you know, journalists should absolutely be supporting Glenn Greenwald and not criticizing him at all.
No, that's crap.
Yeah.
That's just crap.
Because the Greenwald is not a member of the Washington Insider Club seems to be the real problem here. Instead, he views himself as an outsider and adversary to the powerful traits once commonplace among journalists.
What it is. Yeah. Keep going. I'm sorry. I won't interrupt.
As for Greenwald's critics, perhaps they could turn their hostile gaze from him to a more worthwhile target, the government they've been charged with holding accountable. Now, look. I think the press corps is large enough. Now, you want to loop in blogs and people like you and I, Chaz, into that whole realm. I think there's enough people so that a lot of people can hold the NSA accountable. They can hold Congress accountable. But there's some of us want to hold media accountable, too. And Glenn Greenwald, as long as Glenn Greenwald is a journalist, he deserves to be fact-checked.
He does.
And that's been the centerpiece of what I mean, just speaking for myself, what I've been writing about for almost a year now. It isn't necessarily in defense of the NSA. I want to get to the bottom of what exactly they're doing, and this guy is responsible for some of the most misleading reporting I've seen in my entire career in journalism, which goes back to high school, 25 years.
Yeah.
I've been in journalism, and I've never
seen
anything
this
misleading.
And it's funny, by the way, really, really worth pointing out, because people like Mona, whatever the hell her name is.
Mona Holland, yeah, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. she'll do this. You know, another one of Greenwald's little hypocrisies is that his whole, you know, he'll call you out if you appeal to authority, if you do that argumentative fallacy. But it's astonishing to hear the number of people who are like, who will call you an ankle biter or say you're just jealous if, you know, you work for the Daily Banter or you write for the Huffington Post and you call out a guy who, you know, who basically got a Pulitzer for The Guardian.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just, oh, you're just jealous or, oh, you're just, you know, you don't matter. Well, you know what? Facts are facts. Truth is truth.
Well, that was one of Michael Kinsley's points about Greenwald, is that he's notoriously guilty of that appeal to authority fallacy, where he'll point to a New York Times poll or a New York Times article that supports his cause, but then rip them to shreds as being subservient, drooling shills, pernicious,
exactly.
Vast and stupid, that, and when they oppose him.
Yeah, that's it. That's it exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was – I think that
he's
was a
not,
point.
He's not interested for all of this crap about how brilliant he is and how, you know, how thorough he is and how he's only interested in the truth and, you know, he's Aspergerian and therefore things like emotion don't enter into it. That is such nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is he is intellectually dishonest up and down.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I saw this this Twitter exchange between Andrew Sullivan and Glenn Greenwald today. And, you know, again, bear in mind that Andrew Sullivan is one of these guys who kisses the ring, who needs to have Glenn Greenwald's approval. So Sullivan tweets to Greenwald, "What the public knows and does not know about the NSA is determined by Glenn Greenwald with no checks and balances." And then he provides a link to his blog. And then, of course, Greenwald responds almost instantaneously saying, "That's false. One, I collaborate with editors and colleagues on every story." So let's take that first point, that he collaborates with editors and colleagues on every story. When there's a conflict with one of those editors or colleagues, do you think that Greenwald ever concedes a point to them? I mean, in order to have a full collaboration, you have to be able to say, "You know what? I'm wrong. You're right. I'm going to change this paragraph." How often Knowing right. what we know about Glenn Greenwald, how often do you think that happens?
I mean, honestly, I've never once heard him. It's almost gotten to the point where it almost feels like he's setting himself up to make it a big deal when he finally does, as if it's going to prove something.
Yeah.
You know, if people to get people to the point I'm at right now, where if he would just once admit when he's wrong or clarify, you know, not clarify, but, you know, but change his mind on something, you know, like, you know what, that's a good point, and I was wrong about that. I've done that. Do you have any idea the number of times that I've done that?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a sign of being an intellectual. That's why I've got no qualms whatsoever of saying, you know what, you dig up a tweet that I wrote from 2010, and it's and it may be in conflict from something I say now, but you know what, I read things, I learn new things every damn day. Right. And by reading and learning new things, sometimes your opinion changes about certain things. You have you still have your core values as a human being, but on specifics, sometimes ideas change with new information.
Right.
You know, I mean, fucking sue me. So anyway, and then the other point was that Washington Post, New York Times, ProPublica, and Guardian all have much more than 10,000 documents. That's interesting to know. Hmm. So all those publications, do they all, are their documents secure? How secure are they? Where are they?
Right.
Who's got them? Who's got copies? How many staffers have access? These are questions that these people who are totally into transparency will never, ever tell us.
Hmm.
There are so many things that these guys are keeping secret, whether it's Greenwald or Snowden or Poitras or what have you. Lots of secrets for people who are into transparency. You know what we're going to talk about? I'm going to reserve the NBC News Snowden piece for the after party, because I do want to, before we run out of time on the show, I do want to talk about Santa Barbara. So I want to segue over to which is the probably the biggest news of the week, which is that another mass shooting occurred in this time in Santa Barbara, in California, by this guy Elliot Rodger, who, my God, if the NSA,
which I feel so bad. Well, first of all, I hate him. Yeah. I despise that little prick. Mm-hmm. I want to shoot him myself. When I watched that video, that's the first thing I thought. But admittedly, the shitty thing is, man, like, all weekend, it's so fucking memeable. It is. Like, I can't think of the number of times that just over the weekend I looked at Taryn and I'm just like, Elliot Rodger here. You know, or said something along the lines of, you know, to somebody, you know, my day, you know, a bunch of us were joking, my day of retribution is coming. I fucking, like, too soon, I know it.
Yeah.
But God damn him for really committing the fucking you sin of being really, really, really great at how he handled his media, the media he knew he was going to get.
And, you know, if NSA was half the intrusion into personal privacy in the internet that Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden say it is, then they would have known about Elliot Rodger. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He put it right there on YouTube, exactly what he was going to do. For Christ's sake. But anyway, you know, then, of course, in the wake is all of the finger wagging and blame gaming in terms of what exactly caused him to do all this, to snap kill seven people.
Yeah, here comes the you know, my personal soapbox, the societal ill that I've been soapboxing about for the past I don't know how long. Let's put the blame on that. You know, the pseudo intellectuals have to find something to discern in all of this.
Yeah.
And what, discern and discuss.
I mean, when in fact, ultimately, it comes down to something we've talked about on this show since Sandy Hook and long before it, is the gun culture in America. The obsession with guns, the intrinsic value that guns have as part of our traditions and the fathers and the sons handing down the guns and part of our history. I mean, our history is built upon firearms and the use of firearms, whether it's the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. I mean, we mark time based on American wars. I mean, every documentary you see about the history of the 20th century, what are the big tent posts? World War I, World War II, Vietnam, you know, especially Vietnam. You can't have a movie or documentary about the 1960s without all that footage in, you know, Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival playing in the background. Footage of the Vietnam War. It's part of who we are. And the sooner we disconnect from that and begin to regard firearms as being a retail product used to injure or kill living beings, mm-hmm. the sooner we replace this, you know, this grandiose tradition with that idea, the better off we're going to be. Now, there are lots of different causes for what happened in Santa Barbara. But the crux of it is that we in the United States, not everybody, but a considerable number of people, fancy firearms as being a way to resolve crisis, to being the ultimate trump card. No one listens to me.
Right.
No one cares about my concerns and my needs. So blam, 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 blam.
Right.
This is the ultimate arbiter of resolving conflict. Because we, at every level in the United States, do it. That's how it's done here. We have a problem in the Middle East, we go over there with our guns. We have a problem here or there, we use our guns. This is just ongoing. And, you know, right or wrong, sometimes there's an appropriate reason to use a firearm, whether it's the military or whether, you know, there's an intruder in your house hovering over your kid and you need to do something.
Yeah.
But that's not to say it's absolute. I mean, there's so many levels of gray here, which is why, again, you can't pinpoint one specific thing. Like, sure as hell, the NRA started with their goddamn mental illness excuse. This guy's mentally ill, so we need to do this. And we go back to Wayne LaPierre talking about creating a mental illness database. But at the same time, these guys insist that having a gun registry, like registering your car or filing your income tax returns, that kind of registry, is completely unconstitutional. So we absolutely can't have that. We certainly can't have the NSA taking our metadata, which the NRA, the National Rifle Association, joined the lawsuit, the ACLU lawsuit, against the NSA for their phone metadata collection. NRA is now part of that lawsuit, part of the appeal process. So the NSA can't have our metadata, but the FBI can certainly have a list of everyone who's been diagnosed with a mental illness. That's okay. That's totally not unconstitutional.
Of course.
According to Wayne LaPierre. I mean, the hypocrisy is so thick on this. I mean, it just leads you to the ultimate conclusion about the NRA, about the gun lobby. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. The NRA has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with the Constitution. The Constitution is a means to an end for these guys. It's not the end. It's a means. It's a means to selling more retail products for the firearm industry. It's all about. All they're in business for is to protect the firearm industry and to keep record profits going year over year over year. Get more people to buy guns. You need these guns, and here's why. Second Amendment. That's why. You know, good guys with guns stop the bad guys with guns.
Yep.
All that feeds the industry. Higher the gun sales, the more the gun manufacturers need the NRA to support them. It's back and forth. It's like, I almost said, it's like snowballing. It's like firearm snowballing.
Wow, that's a fun metaphor. Awesome.
Please don't Google that. Suddenly I might have to bleep it.
Lovely.
So anyway, but that's what it is. And it's frustrating every time this happens. Got to give credit to Bryce of the Daily Banter for that fill in the blank gun post, which I think he reposted this week.
Yeah.
But, God, I mean, it was with this one, it was really hard for me to dig deeply into it. It was just, again, I'm so exasperated with the whole thing.
Right.
Because I know nothing is going to change.
Nope.
I mean, my position is basically in line.
Although, admittedly, look, what's his name? Richard Ramirez. I suck. Yes, hail Satan. Richard Martinez. God damn, I suck. Richard Martinez. I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop laughing at that. Richard Ramirez. Richard Martinez has been, we all know one person barely makes a difference, but the fact that he's unwilling to shut up is kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, you know, he, He's been vocal right off the bat, and he says he's not going to shut up. So, I mean, again, I'm not somebody who has a thing against guns, as a rule, like, I don't like guns, and I think that they should all be banned and that kind of crap. But, yeah, there's something about the gun culture that absolutely needs to change, and it needs to be that question needs to be forced on our lawmakers. And he seems like he wants to do it, so more power to him.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, too, that when it comes down to it, my view on what's next as far as gun control legislation is perfectly in line with 74% of NRA members who support the idea of having expanded background checks. You know, after the NRA creates this national mental illness database through the Federal Bureau of Investigation, through the FBI, would they support expanded background checks to internet sales and gun shows?
Right.
To apply those background checks to that mental illness database. Would they? I don't think so. It's all hooey. Anything that comes out of Wayne LaPierre's head is a big pile of horse.
Yep.
Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about mental illness databases. He doesn't care about anything other than making sure those checks clear every month.
Pretty much.
Big after party coming up. We're going to talk about Snowden's NBC News interview. We're going to talk about the next season of Food Network Star. That's coming up.
Oh, God. Hate watch.
Plus some movie lists. I always like these lists from all these publications. Hey, take care. See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.